Broadcast brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress. Hope for
all. Psalms number 145. Psalms number 145. Been dealing with praise all day today because the word has so much to say about praise, and it is helpful for us if we will understand what God desires, seeing that he created us for the purpose of praise. Psalms number 145, commencing with verse 1, recorded of these words: I will God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. I want to skip down, if you will, to verse 20 and conclude. It says, the Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject. If you really know him, you will praise him too. If you really know him, you will praise him too. This is a psalm of David. It is suggested that it was written at the latter end of David's life, when he had come to the end of his life and had recognized the goodness of God extended to him. And he expresses, as he does so wonderfully, the goodness of God in a personal sense, but also employs the praise of people everywhere. One of the things that you're going to find out about the Psalms, especially these that we speak of, most of them are prayers, and these prayers include praise, and the praise is directed to God. But it is also praise that God, through his word, desires from those that he has blessed. It is important to understand that the praise expresses admiration and appreciation and thanks. And when you understand that praise has a purpose, it is also personal, it is also pleasant, you're going to understand that one of the reasons why the devil does not want you to understand the ministry of praise is because not only does it bless God, but it blesses you in the process. It's hard to praise God and worry about your problems at the same time. It's hard to be depressed when you are lifting up God. It's hard to bless God and not think about what God has done for you. And all praise is fueled by what God has already done or promised he will do or is presently doing right now. That's why praise ought not be a hard thing for a believer, because all you have to do is attach your appreciation and attach all that your thanks regards to God onto your praise, and you will have a reason to praise him. I understand why folk can look at other folk jump and shout and run and excite themselves in the praise service and never be moved, because they're wondering why they're doing that. But if you take some time out and think about what God's done for you, then you wouldn't have to worry about why I jump and why I shout and why I scream and why I burst out with shouts of praise and glory to him. Because when you think of his goodness to you and all that he's done for you, it will foster a spirit of praise. Now, one of the things I want you to note right quickly is this, that he starts off saying I, and it's filled with, again, personal pronouns here. It's filled with him describing and declaring what he's going to do. It's filled with him making declarations and decrees because he's had a personal relationship and fellowship with God. Now, I got to tell you, my brothers and sisters, it helps in your praise to know who you're praising. It helps if you're going to lift him up to know him who you're lifting up. And if you are lifting up him in whom you have trusted and believed, then it's easy based on your relationship and your reference points. Look at what he says. I will extol. This word extol means to exalt. I will exalt thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Now, you've got to understand, this is, one commentator said, this is an outburst of praise and thanks to God. And sometime, my brothers and sisters, I don't know if you've ever been in that place where you've just been thinking of his goodness and became thankful. And you didn't mean to burst out with a praise God, a hallelujah, or a thank you Jesus, or a laugh that just got contagious, but something on the inside wouldn't let you leave it on the inside. Something in the midst of your time with him just caused you to cry out. There have been times that I have been preparing for messages and had to put the book down and just get my praise on. Just shout and rejoice when I think again of all of his goodness. It somehow had to cause me to pause in my research and then stop and think about what he's done. It refreshes me to know that what he's done once, he can do it again. And if I learn how to be grateful and thankful for what he's already done, it opens up the door for a whole lot more. So they say it was an outburst, but I want you to know it was more than an outburst. Because an outburst seems to be something that's short-lived, something that comes up and quickly, you know, shouts out this truth or that truth. But this man goes on and on and on and on about God. So this was something that was quite meditated. And you can't really praise him without having a purpose or a reference. Look again at what he says. He says, I will bless thy name forever and ever. Obviously, David has reached the point where we ought to come to, where we have made up in our minds that there's nothing nor no one who will ever stop us from blessing his name. In other words, he's done so much already that if he never ever does another thing, he's still worthy to be blessed. He's still worthy to be praised. Have you reached that point in your life that if God never ever does another thing, he's already done enough to prove to you that he's worthy of your praise continually? Look at what he goes on to say. Every day will I bless thee and I will praise thy name forever and every day. Why every day, David? Because David says every day his mercies are new, his benefits are new. Why every day, David? Because every day I wake up, I recognize my purpose for waking up was not for my own desire or design, but for his glory. And if it's for his glory, he woke me up for my good. And every day, because I recognize that I didn't deserve this day by the way I may have lived the other days, but every day I'm going to bless him because I recognize that there is none better than him. There's none higher than him. There's none great. Every day, because I realize if nobody else will praise him, I will praise the Lord. Every day, because he keeps on doing great things. Listen at this, because I want you to see this. He says, every day will I. Now that put me right then when I got to this I. I got to this eye and I realized David is saying, wait a minute, I want you to join me. But if you don't want to join me, let me tell you, it's still going to be a praise party going on. I'd love for you to join in with me because all through the Psalms, he's inviting others to come in and to give God his just praise. But if they do not, I like the way he makes clear where he stands, how he stands, and what he stands for. He says again, great is the Lord. Now this stands to reason, if great is the Lord, if the Lord is great, then shouldn't he be greatly praised? In other words, the praise should be commensurate with the God. And if he's a great God, then we ought to give him great praise. And too often time we give meager praise to a great God. And he says, if he's a great God, then he's greatly to be. In other words, if you're going to get some praise, you tell folk keep it if the praise don't come up to what you think it ought to be. And some of us half-heartedly praise God on Sunday morning like we are made to praise him, like we don't have a reason to praise him, like I'm so tired of praising him when God has done so much for you. If it had not been for the Lord who was on your side, you wouldn't even be sitting here today. And so he is greatly to be praised. Listen at this, because I want you to see this. The word says, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. In other words, it's unfathomable. When you reach that point when you think you have got him figured out, he's so great that you become confused in trying to figure out how he does what he does, why he does what he does, when he does what he does, why he does what he does, and how he does, because he's just that great. How can he be there, here, and everywhere, controlling and changing and conquering situations? How can he from the beginning of time see the end of time and still working in the present in the middle of time? He's just that great. That he can be on vacation and yet fix your situation. He's just that great. When your enemy thinks he's got you surrounded and about to take you out, that God has already got angels dispatched waiting for them to make their next move, so that when he opens up your eyes, you can say, they that be with us are more than they that be with them. I wish I had a witness here. He's just that. Yeah, yeah. Look. Verse 4. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. In other words, praise ought to be continual, so much so that it ought to be handed down from generation to generation. But what he's done in one generation ought to cause expectation in the next generation. In other words, because he's been good to my grandmama, and he's been good to my granddaddy, and he's been good to mama, and he's been good to daddy. I know he's going to be. Oh, come on, help me, somebody. Look here. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. Listen, and men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts. And I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. Verse 8, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great. See, when men get through talking about all he's done, all he's conquered, all he's changed, all he's controlled, and then wonder why he's still here. When the Lord should have done away with him and every remembrance of him, every part of his lineage, but yet the next part comes in and says, the reason why that didn't happen is because verse says, the Lord is. And can I tell you, the only reason why you are here is because the Lord is. How many of us will be honest enough and say, since we've been saved, we've still sinned? But yet he's a just God, he's a holy God, he's a righteous God. And if it had been based upon our activity and our operation, we wouldn't be here because we have sinned against him. But the only reason why we're sitting here looking so sanctimonious this morning is because the Lord is gracious. And look at this, and full of compassion. He's compassionate. Full of compassion, not just some compassion, because see, our compassion with one another has a limitation put on it. But God's compassion is limitless. He's full Every bit of him has compassion in him. Listen to what the word says. He's slow to anger. Aren't you glad his temper isn't like your temper? He's slow to anger. Think about it the next time you get mad with somebody quickly. If the Lord would get mad with me quickly like I get mad with somebody, would I be here? And you see, the good thing about the truth is that the only reason why God would get angry is because you're in error. And sometimes we get angry with folk who are not even in error. Y'all gonna catch that on the way going home. But yet we still get angry. But he's slow to anger. And listen to what the word says. And of great mercy. This is his character. This is his character. The Lord is good. Listen now. Listen. To all. That's why evil folk are still here.
Amen. Amen.
Excuse me, lights, but that might be the reason why you still here. Because he's good too. He doesn't exclude you because you're not all you ought to be. He's good. Even when you don't do what you ought to do, he's still good to you. And that's what gets me with those of us who know we're not doing what we're supposed to do and won't act like he's blessing us because we're doing everything we're supposed to do. No, that's not true. He's good to us because he's good. And what we have and where we are is because he is good to all. Listen at this now. The word says, and his tender mercies are over all his works. I got news for you today. You're a part of his works. And that's why he employs tender mercies with you. Because he made you. And he knows what's in you. And he knows all about you. And so therefore he knows you better than you know yourself. Look at what this work says. Verse 10, all thy works shall praise thee. All thy works. I am a part of his works, then that means I am required to praise him. But then not just only me, everything he created, God created a praise system in it. Amen. When it functions the way that he designed it, he gets praise out of its proper operation. Listen to me well. When trees function and flow, bud and bloom, they give praise when they function the way they're designed. When every creature and creeping thing on planet Earth does what it is designed to do, it gives God praise by functioning the way he designed it. He created man for his praise. And man is the only thing he's created that has an option on whether or not he or she praises him. Nothing else was given an option. Because we were made in his image and in his likeness, we were given a free will. So therefore, we have a choice in whether or not we praise him. And if we choose to praise him as we were created and designed, then we then function as we were designed, and God gets the glory. And whenever he gets the glory, his word makes clear we receive the good. But when we do not praise him, we then are not privy to opening up God's vast resources that he desires to bless us with. In other words, he's still going to be good to us because he's just good. But you'll never see the greatness of his goodness until you align yourself with his word, his will, and his way. Look at what the word says again. I want you to see this. The Bible says again, all thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of thy glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. Now they're talking about this, the eternal kingdom of God. All of these things are going to be so because God has divinely designed it to be so. Verse 14 says, and here's where we start getting excited about the praise. He says, the Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. Now you start realizing why you have more reasons to praise him. Has anyone ever fell in here? Can I tell you what Psalm 37 says? Psalm 37 says in the 23rd verse, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighted in his way. Next verse says, though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down. Why? For the Lord upholdeth him. So even as a person who belongs to the Lord, you're going to make some mistakes. You're going to make some bad decisions. You're going to slip and fall. But isn't it good to know when you fall and you belong to God, he will pick you up and restore you and even take you to higher levels when you understand that God has your better good in store. Listen to what the word says. It says, and he raised up all those, somebody say all those, that be bowed down, talking about his people. Now listen to what it says. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. I like this. I rejoiced when I saw this, because what it was saying was everybody who's expecting anything is really looking to the Lord to bring it to pass. You see, if you're looking to man to bring your end or expectation to pass, I'm here to tell you, you can stop the search. Because the Bible tells you that man's breath will leave his body and his thought will then perish, because he will be powerless to bring to pass what he promised, because man is limited in his resources. But if you're waiting on God to bring it to pass, if you're waiting on God to fulfill his promise, if you're waiting on God to back it up, then I'm here to tell you, he will not let your expectations come to naught. Now look at what else he says. I like this. And thou givest them their meat in due season. And listen, God gives me my meat, and he ain't gonna give me your meat. He's gonna give me my portion, in other words. But listen at this, he's gonna give me my portion when it's the right time. I used to wonder when I was younger why the Lord would bless some folk and it seemed like they didn't deserve the blessing, and he would pass over me or pass over others who seemingly deserved the blessings and who had prepared for it. But what I didn't know is what I see here now, that God's got this thing fixed. And I've got news for you. When it becomes your season, you ought to rejoice at knowing that when your time comes, no man, no power, no force can stop God from delivering to you what belongs to you when it's your time for you. You ain't got to go hooking and crooking. You ain't got to go peeping and conniving. All you have to do is pray and say, Lord, have thine own way, and when my time gets here, let me rejoice in the fact that you never show up too late and you never come too early. You're always on. Yes, 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 yes. Look at verse 16. Thou openest thine hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. Everything that has life on planet Earth gets its substance and sustenance from God. God has so much in his hand that when he opens up his hand, everything that has life or expectation will find it in the hand of the Lord. I've got news for you, my brothers and sisters. There's something strange and wonderful, magnanimous and miraculous about the hand of the Lord. No one now understand now how the old saints used to say, I'm going to put you in the hand. You can talk about me just as much as you please. More you talk, I'm going to bend my knees. I'm going to cast my cares upon him, for he careth for me. When you put it in his hand, God will take care. God's hand throughout scripture represents so much, so much, so much. But this verse here says every living thing is satisfied by the provisions of God's hand. You know what that says to you and to me? Whatever I need is in God's hand. Whatever I want, it's in God's hand. Whatever I am, it's in God's. Whatever I will be, it's in God's. Whatever I'm going to accomplish, it's in. In other words, I should look to God and to God only for all that I have need of, because what I need is in God's hand. Listen at this. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is righteous in all his ways. All his ways. God doesn't do anything underhanded. He doesn't do anything deceitful, dishonest, untrustworthy. Everything he does is righteous. All his ways are righteous. And then everything he works out, he does it in holiness. So you got to know, you can't get a holy God to operate in an unholy way. And God is not going to do something that's unrighteous or unholy to please you. And the only way that we're going to get what God has for us is for us to be righteous in our ways and holy in our works. Now listen to this. The word says, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him or pray, to all that call upon him in truth, who prays right. Now this blessed my heart when I read this, because it says he's only a call away if you're calling the right number. Listen to what it says now. I want you to see. Listen. The Lord is nigh, that's near, unto all them that call upon him. To all that call upon him in truth. He's only a call away if you're calling the right number or calling him in truth. Now, what is truth? His word. If I call him in my prayer, and remember, if I speak his word, he is bound by his word to back up his word. So if I speak through his word, that is truth. And if I align my faith with his word, my trust with his word, my belief with his word, then he's got to back up his word, because he hears his word. And he's just as close as a call, because when I learn how to pray and communicate and call him up, he is so close that he hears my every word. Just as long as my words are his words. David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now that doesn't mean he's so far that he cannot hear me. It just means that he chooses not to hear foolishness. Now listen to this. It says, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. Oh, my brothers and sisters, God's going to fulfill the desire of those of us who fear him. What kind of fear is this? It's reverential and respectful fear. It is that kind of fear that pays attention to his awesomeness, his majesty, his gloriousness. It's that kind of fear that makes us know that if God can't, nobody can. It's that kind of fear that aligns ourselves with, I would not want to be on the opposing side of a great and awesome God like God. It's that reverential fear that knows he can not only destroy the body, but he can destroy the body and the soul. That's the kind of fear. Listen at this. He will also hear their cry. How many times have you had to cry and didn't want to cry around anybody? And yet if folk can't hear you cry, then many times they can't answer your cry. But isn't it good to know when you cry to the Lord? He not only hears your cry, but he'll answer. That's what the word says, and will save them. Oh, my brothers and sisters, the reason why many of us are still here today is because we cried out to the Lord. You know, we may not have cried out to man. Man may not have known our situation and may not have been able to interpret what we were going through. But we got by ourselves and we got in our private prayer closet and shut the door and cried out to God. And the Bible said he heard and saved us. Listen to what the word says in verse 20. The Lord preserveth all them that what? But all the wicked will be destroyed. Notice here, the word all applies to those who love him, and the word all applies to those who do not love him. Something's going to happen to both of those alls. Listen to me. The Lord preserveth all that what? The only reason why God holds us and keeps us around is because he knows our heart. He knows that we love him. And if he knows we love him, it's up to him to take care of us when we cannot take care of ourselves. But even though we love him, the wicked are always around us, always doing wickedly, always seeking to devour, always plotting and planning, always trying to fix up